Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons report.
Stop! Vic Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons report on Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man,
happy Wednesday. No rain as of yet. I'm knocking on wood. I'm looking at all the forecasts. It looks like we're going to get some rain the rest of the way. And I mean, not just today, but probably the rest of the week. Don't let it ruin your week. Mike and I, as a matter of fact, are going to be out Friday morning participating. Actually, not running, but there in support of Special Olympics Georgia for the final leg of the law enforcement torch run for Special Olympics right here in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, it's going to make its way from downtown over to Emory, and we'll be in the, I believe we're in the lead vehicle. I mean, the Pope hole about the lead vehicle.
Yes.
It'll be a police escort.
Whoop, whoop.
But I guess we'll be in the 92.9 the game recreational attack vehicle, like the urban assault vehicle from Stripes. But anyway, we'll look for us, and looking forward to seeing all the kids out there, everyone that's involved with Special Olympics adults as well. And it's going to be, I mean, it really is a very special time for the kids and for everybody involved. I mean, hopefully there's a lot of folks that will be more interested in volunteering as well.
No doubt. And then Friday afternoon, we'll be up at Twin Peaks and Kennesaw. So come on out for the live show and hang out with your boys. Hey, coming up, our big story in about 20 minutes, and I think you guys know what it is the lottery unfolded last night, the draft lottery in the NBA. We're going to talk more about that. And how much do you believe in Doncic? Because that is the big conversation. As Mike, a lot of people are sold on him being the guy. And I say that because a lot of people say, well, listen, if Ayton goes first, DeAndre Ayton out of Arizona, and Marvin Bagley goes two, do the Hawks take him? And it could play out that way. It could be reversed. We'll get into it in about 20 minutes. Right now, though, it's time for the Falcon Report.
Brought to you by our buddies at Domino's, guys. A large three-topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only when it's a rainy night. Let mom or dad bring home some Domino's, man. Again, large three-topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only. Get that carry out insurance as well from Domino's.com.
All right. Here's the thing, you know, as far as the Falcons are concerned, and this is kind of a sidebar, but with all the gambling conversation we've had over the last couple of days, it is interesting to see the reaction around the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our guy, R.J. Bell, came on yesterday and said that basically this is going to increase the viewing in sports simply because the interest level is going to be there. And his example was, and I think it's simple, Mike, Monday night game, we've talked about it, bad matchup. But the idea is if your state has legalized sports gambling and you're able to put $20 on it now, legally, are you going to watch a little bit longer?
And there's going to be so many, I think, governmental oversights are going to be applied here. Maybe at the federal level, perhaps at the state level. But the idea that you're going to watch a game on a national broadcast and you're going to have a window, you know, kind of like when you watch any of the business channels and you'll have all these prop bets on the side. Falcons get the ball on the 20. And now you're going to place your bets. We're going to score a touchdown. We're going to get a field goal out of this. It's going to be a three and out. And have that right there coming out of the TV timeout or into the TV timeout. You can put and pump it up. It's amazing. I mean, this world is coming. The technology is in place. And there was an interesting article. I believe it was in the Washington Post yesterday because I appreciate it. I think it was Brad that sent me the link to it. But in a nutshell, Carl, you're going to have some states that are going to say, we got to have parental controls on this. You can't have kids becoming degenerate gamblers by stealing mom or dad's MasterCard and getting online or watching the game. But those things already exist on a lot of satellite and cable providers or on your television anyway.
Well, they do. But, I mean, so your kids buy a movie. They didn't bet $1,000 on the game.
But that's what I'm saying. They're going to have a parental control that will, for the X amount of hours, or you block it out. So your kids will not have the X, or you can just block the feature out altogether. So you don't get that gambling cue or that window that would pop up. That's one way you could get around it. But anyway, the odds, speaking of Vegas, and we'll talk more about the legalized sports gambling, the Falcons 2-1, according to Bovada, to win the NFC South. Sounds pretty good, right?
It does.
Carolina's 3-1. The Bucs are a 6-1, so they're the long shot. But the Saints edge us by half a point at 9-5 to win the NFC South. So Vegas believes in Drew Brees and the Saints over our new $150 million man, Matt Ryan, and the Falcons.
Well, I think that's also a function of them going to the playoffs last year being a hair away from playing, all right, in the NFC Championship game, and the fact that they had the fourth best scoring offense in the National Football League. You know, all of those things you have to take into account. Where we were, again, averaging about 17 points a game, they're putting up over 28 a game. That matters. So I don't have any problems with these odds. What changes these odds for me as the season gets rolling around, Sark, is how much better this offense is going to be. Because if we improve in that area like we think we can, then these odds, we're going to be as good or better than the Saints. And I still think it's us and the Saints competing in this division along with Carolina. So for me, they have it right when you talk about where we should stand right now based on what we knew from last year.
As you mentioned, guys, 6-1 for the Bucs, so they would be the long shot in this division. But 6-1 is still not an impossible number, obviously.
No, we talked
earlier, guys, in the NFL Blitz about our old coach Mike Smith, the DC for Dirk Cutter with the Bucs, doing an interview with the Tampa Bay Times, saying that the defense, quote, got to be a hell of a lot better than last.
It's got to be a hell of a lot better than last year, that's for sure.
One thing for certain, they put some money on the defensive side. We talked earlier about going and getting Jason Pierre-Paul. They went and they load up with Vita Vea, along with Gerald McCoy, who's already one of the best at his position. But then there's also pieces in the secondary to work. It says Hargrave's going to be in the slot some more. So it depends on how when we match up. And again, we'll move Julio and we'll move Sanu and now Calvin Ridley around. But the Bucs, number one, trying to get pressure on Matt Ryan so we can't get that ball to those guys so they can go run.
It's where they were deficient last year. They just didn't get enough pressures or sacks. Gerald McCoy has been the guy that teams could focus on. And now this is what Vita Vea does for them. You know, I said it at the time. I would have loved to have had Vita Vea. But after talking to different people and what, you know, he brings to the table – I'm curious to see what the Bucs, you know, what he does for them. Because, Mike, the idea is now if you're going to double-team him, well, you got to deal with Vita Vea. And also, you know, our defensive line, we're able to come off the edges. I think they should be an improved defense, but it's all on Smitty, man.
Hey, well, it's all on Jameis. One could argue there's more pressure on Jameis Winston because they've got to kind of cut down on the turnovers because Dirk Cutter's job and Smitty's job for that part are riding on it. They also did the Bucs add MJ Stewart, Carlton Davis in the second-round corners. So they've got some help there. Remember, if you look at Marcus Lattimore, look at the how impactful he was for the Saints, and look at the job he did against Julio and the Falcons, right? And one loss, one win, but a guy that's become a factor. Well, the Bucs are looking for that kind of development in their secondary. We've gotten better in the secondary with Isaiah Oliver. If and when he's out there on the field, he can beat Poole out for that nickel position.
One of the things we're going to talk about quite a bit, actually, because it's a big factor with Isaiah Oliver, and many people may not be aware of this, but his wingspan is longer than anybody on the team.
Yeah, it's like a pterodactyl.
So, you know, when you start talking about length, that makes up for, all right, getting beat. If a guy has two steps on you and my length is, my reach, all right, is 2 feet, I can make that up. And so this was a very attractive feature, or at least, something that the Falcons thought was interesting when they drafted him was, all right, listen, there's makeup speed, you're going to get beat as a corner, but when you start talking about tip balls and getting your hands on balls, that matters, Mike, and he is long. So he's almost like a guard in the NBA with the reach of a center. So I think it's very interesting as we see how they end up playing him.
Hey, speaking of the Falcons secondary with the Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's, we are worried about just how the refs are going to look at one Keanu Neal. Is he going to be able to play that heads-up football that he's talked about, changing a bit of his technique? Reason I bring it up, Carl, the NFL player ejections are going to be subject to replay review if the owners approve it, the spring meeting in Atlanta. Again, which is coming up here, the owner's got to make this the rules if it's going to be carried. The change released in writing Wednesday by the NFL. It's discouraged, obviously, players from using their helmets. So you know what we're going for here, player safety. But the owners have got to vote on this one and agree. You got to have this reviewable. You cannot let the ref interpret this, especially if it was a, you know, can you look at the intent through replay and overrule it? Because if you, like, how many times we have this matrix conversation?
Right.
You're lining up the wide receiver, you leave your feet, and now the contact point is lower because he lowers his head. Is that on you as a defender?
No.
Because that's something which I don't want my star players getting kicked out because we're going to have this ridiculous, which it is, ridiculous window dressing about player safety.
Yeah, the owners are going to meet here in Atlanta. We're going to see where this goes as far as the punishment. It's one thing to have a rule in place. What I really care about is how you enforce it. Well, what are you doing when this actually happens, and how does it affect the game at that particular moment? I mean, if this happens in the first quarter, Mike, you know, and you can get a warning or something of that nature, okay, fine. And if it happens again in the game, then you throw a guy out. But that's not normally the situation. And we've seen it in college. So I think this is something the NFL has got to be very careful about moving forward with the punishment.
And we know they're trying to kill the kickoff. A couple of special teams coaches had a meeting May 2nd at NFL headquarters. Take a listen to this. We haven't talked. I don't think you and I have talked about this much. The changes that they're putting out there, proposing, designed to reduce high-speed collisions, the elimination of running starts for kickoff coverage. In other words, the only guy that would be behind the line would be the kicker. And everyone else would just start like they're a track. They're like, you know, on the starting blocks.
Right.
So you're saving a guy, you know, 5 yards of a head start. Does that matter to you?
I mean, no.
You are going to reduce – potentially you're going to reduce a little bit of energy in the collision.
It doesn't matter because I think, again, in 5 years we're going to have the big hoopla, the introductions, the music, and the balls on the 25 and the game starts. That's what's going to happen.
Listen to how they're going to try to – and how are the refs going to get a handle on this? A requirement that 8 of the 11 men on the kick return team must be aligned in the setup zone within 15 yards of the ball. No blocking within the setup zone until the ball is touched or hits the ground. Okay. I mean, what are you doing to football, man? What is this?
Go make a play. If we're not going to go back to go make a play, and as soon as the ball's kicked, then you can hit somebody. I've got to wait till the ball is live. This is all about protecting.
If you're going to go through all these hoops for this, just do what you wanted to do anyway, and just eliminate the kickoffs. I mean, it drives me crazy. We don't want to see anyone lose quality of life through paralysis or even more serious injury. We all saw what happened to Ryan Chase here, but that's a relatively low speed contact. I mean, I get it. I mean, you can look. I mean, the kicker is the one that got Devon Gales in the Southern game against Georgia. It wasn't even like a linebacker or a special teamer of sorts. It was the kicker.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just I know we want like to eliminate it down to zero, but you're never going to be able to do that in a contest.
There's an inherent danger when you jump on the field, and that's just what it is. And, you know, here we are. I always find us, not Mike and I, but just sports fans like apologizing. Well, I don't want to see that. Well, nobody wants to see it.
Right.
But these guys know what's at stake. So, you know, let's not beat around the bush. I say it all the time. If you're a truck driver, you're on the road all the time, there's an inherent danger that you might have an accident. You're an airline pilot, you know, you might have to ditch a plane. It's just kind of what it is when you're an NFL player. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, man. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
ball, B-A-L-L, ball hard. All right, B-A-L-L. Text it right now.
You big baller.
Baller. Ball. Caller.
B-A-L-L gets texted to 72881. We want to give away some loot there, bro. Have we won it? Has anybody won?
I don't know. AT's not talking.
I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I liked it better when CBS ran this contest. Ball, B-A-L-L, to 72881. Guys, get it on like Donkey Kong. It's ball. You text it right now to 72881. You got a few minutes, so don't text and drive and be ready to rock. Hey, by the way, speaking of money, just wrapping up the Falcon report. The Falcons, 6.4 available under the cap, according to the Spot Rack guys that do the website. I don't know if it's a little bit less than that, but we do have some emergency fund money if we want to try to have to beef up things maybe between now and the end of camp when the season starts.
You saying trade somebody?
No. I'm saying we can still, and by the way, you can still renegotiate or rework the Jake Matthews deal. There's still some time for that, which we thought was going to happen after Matt's deal got done. So we're okay cap-wise right now.
No doubt. We're not in cap hell, that's for sure. So even with the Matt Ryan deal, I know everybody's stressing out about it, it's not going to hurt us long-term, and I think that was a big part of how this deal was structured. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. We're going to get to the big story. Hawks get the number 3 overall pick in last night's NBA draft lottery. I was freaking out because I thought there was a real chance that we could get to 1. They did that dramatic, and we'll be back. Who has the top pick? And I was like, dun, 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 dun. All right. There's a chance. And we come back out of the break and we get the 3 picks. So what are we going to do with it now? Where do the Hawks go? Travis Slink, our general manager, talked about that. He also talked about Dennis Schroeder. We're going to let you hear that coming up. But, guys, this is a great position to be in. We have pick 3, pick 19, pick 30, pick 34, which is the 4th pick in the 2nd round. Now, if you go, well, Dukes, nobody cares about the 2nd round. Tell that to Draymond Green. I could give you a list of 2nd-round guys that have had huge impact in the NBA.
Look no further than the Hawks, Carl. 17 years ago, Hanno Mattala. Hello? Hanno Mattala, 2nd-rounder. Schroeder's not the first guy that had umlauts on this team, pal.
Yeah, that's
Arthur
true.
Remembers. He can't talk about it, but he remembers. But anyway, guys, there is value there. But again, Travis comes from an organization which made the most out of that 2nd-round pick, to your point.
Got to make the most out of it. All right, we'll get to the big story, man. We want to hear from you on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929.
Arthur's so preoccupied with the royal wedding, he can't even focus.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to look on the website for all the dresses and stuff either.
Crazy.
All day.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell. Glad to have you listening. You can always find us on social media. Follow the radio station, 929 The Game. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Hit us up and follow me on the gram as well. Here's the deal, man. We were all patiently waiting to see where this thing was going to go, Mike, with the NBA draft lottery last night. It is our big story today.
Man.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
All right. I want to take you back for those of you who missed it. I was watching live. I happened to get home in time because, as Mike said, they probably went 30 minutes over with the made-for-TV event interviewing everybody. But NBA Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum makes the announcement.
The third pick in this year's draft goes to the Atlanta Hawks. The second pick will be made by the Sacramento Kings. And that means that the number one pick in the 2018 NBA draft goes to the Phoenix Suns.
All right. So the Suns, one. Kings, two. Hawks, three. Here's the deal. The general census in talking to people around the NBA is that you have DeAndre Ayton, kid out of Arizona, one and done. You've got Marvin Bagley out of Duke. And then you have Luka Doncic out of overseas. He actually played
Slovenia. Played for Real Madrid.
Yes. And his coach, who actually coached him over there, you know where he is right now?
Phoenix Suns.
Just got hired by the Phoenix Suns. Here's my point. I don't think that's a fluke. And I think that the Phoenix Suns are as interested as any of these teams in Luka Doncic as we are. And there is a chance, Mike, that he could go number one because – again, this would be, you know, the Phoenix Suns look at this and they go, we got Devin Booker. And I know many of you hadn't watched the Phoenix Suns this year. He's solid. And to add Luka to the backcourt, that's a nice tandem.
Now, DeAndre Ayton said he's looking forward to playing for the Phoenix Suns.
Well, of course, it's home.
Yeah, he grew up, you know, he played in Tucson at University of Arizona, but would love to stay in the state and play for Phoenix. Igor Kokoskov.
That's his name.
Is the coach that coaches the Slovenian national team. So familiarity there with a young man who... You know, it's not like you could compare him to Dirk because he's not that tall. You can't compare him to a guy like Kukoc because his game's a little bit different.
Yeah,
he's not like a Sabonis because he's definitely not that big. But he can pass. He can move. He gets up and down the court. He's got a great jump shot. He's probably, Carl, the most complete athlete in this draft. But where – and this is the great question – if it's going to be the Suns or it's going to be perhaps a guy who's familiar with European basketball and Vlade Divac who's running the Sacramento Kings – is the upside there compared to these other guys in the top five or six?
Well, you know, for me, it's like what is the ceiling? And it's funny because I'll give you a quick yeah,
ceiling. The roof is the ceiling.
Yeah,
no, please, Michael, please.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, who writes for the Falcons, all right, and he's just talking generally. And he's like, tell the Hawks I want Bagley. All right, this is a tweet earlier today. He says, the European guy, he's talking about Doncic, reminds me of Darko. Now, we all know that was one of the epic fails in NBA history.
Right.
So I'm like, no, don't say that. Dan Wolken, who writes for USA Today, he follows college football. Dan jumps in and is like, listen, Darko averaged 9 points. Doncic is averaging about 15. He's the second in the second best league in the world at age 19. Then another guy jumps in, throws in some numbers. And the point is, we all agree that the kid can play. But what is the ceiling, Mike? And if you believe that the ceiling for him is he's going to come in, how much better can he get? Or is this a guy, and this is my concern with a guy like Ayton, I'm actually glad, you know, that I think he's going to be gone. But there's a chance if they go Doncic and Bagley selected, what if Ayton's sitting there fourth? Do you have to take him at three? What if it's reversed? And you know, the Suns go, well, we're going to go make this backcourt better. And then the Kings go, whoa, we love Bagley. Then Ayton sitting there for us.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Ayton, I think, would be great. I think a lot of people said when we brought up Marvin Bagley, let's just say it's chalk. And then one way or the other, whether it's Sacramento or Phoenix, is going to be Ayton and then Doncic. Okay, then you go Marvin Bagley. A lot of guys are saying, but whoa, we got John Collins. Isn't that redundancy at the position? Well, you could have depth at the position, or if you feel Bagley's going to have a little more upside than Collins, you could maybe package Collins. If then you want to get back in the mix for that point guard you're apparently going to need because everybody and his uncle thinks Dennis Schroeder is gone. What about this, Carl? Packaging your remaining picks Perhaps you package Schroeder if there's market value. Earlier today, we were talking to Jeff Zilgit from USA Today, who covers NBA, and he says there will be interest for Dennis. Can't really gauge it, but it's not like as cold as maybe we think it'll be. You think there'll be some interest in Dennis?
Well, listen.
Can we package to get back and get Colin Sexton? How about that? Imagine if we came out of this draft with a guy like Marvin Bagley and Colin Sexton. How would that make you feel?
Well, it'd make me feel good. I mean, you add him to Torian Prince and John Collins, and all of a sudden you've got a real foundation. I'm with you on this. There is value for Dennis. Don't misunderstand this. But here's the deal. This is not fantasy. We always say this. What you think you might get back in return is not what you're actually going to get back. Here's Travis Link, our general manager, who was on our morning show talking about the criteria for selecting the third overall pick.
Now we have to really hone in on the individual, figuring out what kind of person they are, what their end game is, you know, what their basketball IQ is. All those things are going to go into it.
Yeah, and see, that's the stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's one thing to see a guy, you know, pick a guy in this particular draft. It doesn't matter who you want to particularly draft. And then you go, all right, he's pretty good. But then you start diving in, okay? And now you're going to really start making sure that, you know, those five guys, let's say, you know, there's five guys, Mike, that they've targeted, that you have them in the order on your board. Because if it happens the way you think it's going to happen, this guy's going to be there, and that's the guy for us. Travis Link also talked about Coach Lloyd Pierce, who joined us yesterday. If you missed it, it's on the website at 929thegame.com. He will be a part of this.
We share similar beliefs on the way the game should be played, where the game's going in general. You know, Lloyd's going to be a part of this process, and, yeah, we kind of share the similar views on where the game's going and what kind of players we're looking for to be part of the Hawks moving forward.
All right, so let me ask you this. John Collins, he's not a true five. He's not a center, right? He's a four. He's a power forward. Mm-hmm. If you draft Bagley, Bagley's a power forward, right? Ayton really is a center. He's a true five. Are you okay with that? Because basically – you know, in today's age of the NBA, you're talking about stretch fours, guys that can play outside like Al last night. You know, Al shooting threes, he did that here with the Hawks. That's what made us so successful with Paul and Al, because they could take the big guys right away from the basket.
Now, what if – now, do you think the Sacramento interest in Doncic is just a bunch of nonsense just because they're just simply saying that because Vladdy is European and he's European? Well, that just makes it a simple – well, it is interesting, though, when you do say the Slovenian coach is on Phoenix. So what would you be most happy with? Bagley, Ayton, Doncic? I think most Hawks fans would be happy with Ayton.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Doncic would be the most difficult sell for the fan base? Only because of the stigma of the Europeans that have come before him that have not panned out.
I would say yes, Mike. I mean, it may be unfair, but you know how you solve that. If the kid comes here and has all of a sudden given us 20 a night and is balling, all that goes away, but you're right. It's almost like being judged guilty before you've been to trial because of the past, you know, players that have come before him, whether they've been bust or stars. And I've said this, you know, when you start naming the foreign stars that have come over here and really had an impact in our league, you know, you can count them on one hand, right?
Right, and that's just it. That's why if you're a general manager, especially for Travis Schlenk. And here's the other thing. Let me give you option number
two.
Actually, option C. How about this? Because we talked about this with Mike earlier, Mike Conte, who, of course, pre- and post-game host of your Atlanta Hawks right here on the home of the Hawks, 92.9 The Game. What if they really like Trae Young and three doesn't really help us because he's not worth picking at three and they like John Collins and they're not sold on Bagley? Do you then, for a team like the Bulls who got basically hosed in the ping pong balls, do you trade?
Make a deal.
You make a deal, get the point guard of the future, and then maybe you pick up a number one for next year based probably on the Bulls being the lottery again. Amongst other teams, they might want to look to trade up.
Well, that's certainly an option. It's where you have Trae Young on your board, and we're using him as an example. This could be someone that the Hawks may have in their on their radar, but to Mike's point, the value is not taking him at three. So let's move back and see what we can get. That could be an option.
More picks in this draft, too, but is that a hard sell? But fans, we know it's going to be a bit of a turnaround. As we said the other day, it's like turning a battleship, making a U-turn here. But do you think fans would accept that?
No.
Can we give Arthur a speaking part? He worked in the NBA for 20 years.
No, he doesn't talk. Right. I think it's hard for us to give up the third overall pick, Mike. I just do. Mm-hmm. You don't get this. Last time we had it.
Free AK.
Yeah, free him. Last time we had it, 07 was Al, right? Correct?
Last time we picked at three. Yes, sir.
It's 2018. These picks don't come
along. Guys are going, what about Collins? Look, Collins is still learning on the job. Bagley, I think, has got more. Do you think Bagley's got way more upside than Collins in the NBA, don't you? He's going to go into it, or you don't
talking about John Collins?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know.
See, you like Collins' game?
I do. But that's,
I know, I do too, but I'm saying, can they both coexist in an offense in the half court?
If this is an offense where you're moving guys around, and you know, I'll use this term, the motion, and those guys are going to be moving, you know, moving around and getting shots, yeah, they can coexist. This is what I'm saying. If you're caught up, okay, in this idea of traditional positions,
mm-hmm.
don't. That's not today's NBA. And that's what I'm getting to. You could draft Bagley and have Collins, and they could coexist, and you can win that way. Let's not get – that's not today's NBA. We're not drafting Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and we're going to go get a 6'1 point guard. That's today, it's all about interchanging pieces, Mike, and you see that. The Celtics are a prime example of that right now.
Right. And we talked to Lloyd Pierce about, you know, switching on defense. But then again, you'd have those two big guys on defense. You could go small against us. I'd be like, we'll figure it out, guys. But you don't. I don't think you move backwards from that third overall
pick. I don't either. I don't either.
Because, I mean, there's a juice with it. Now, then again, there's other guys out there. We've talked about the kid from Michigan State. We've talked about, you know, and if you do feel, I'd love to get a big guy that's transformative, and I'd love to get a point guard. Love to get Colin Sexton. Now, you're going to move. What are you going to get for Schroeder, by the way? You're going to get a first-round pick for Schroeder?
Mm-mm. No.
What if you package your other picks in Schroeder? Can you get back in the top 15, top 12, top 10?
If you put that with picks, yes. But, again, where are you sending him to get that in return? And that's something, you know, again, Travis Link and company are going to have to figure that out if that's going to be the move. By the way, speaking of Dennis Schroeder.
Talk about social media.
Well, I just saw this. This happened probably about 5, 10 or so, about 15, 20 minutes ago. But Dennis tweeted out, and, you know, we talked about it yesterday with the whole social media thing on Instagram where he scrubbed it. And I don't know if he's subtweeting or not. But he's like, accomplish something first before you talk. Shaking my head. Little emoji. But that was about 22 minutes ago. I don't know what Dennis is talking about. How about you want to be a hawk before you start talking?
Why don't you accomplish something? Why don't you go get a dye job on the back of your hair? Why don't you buy an Audi R8 and wrap it in gold? Then you can talk to me, okay?
So I don't know.
Schreinhund.
You think that's a subtweet, Sam Charlie? Maybe. Who's he talking to? Us?
What world are we living in, man? Dennis is subtweeting at people. T.I. can't get into his house. Braves can't get a call. Umpires are screwing them.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on out here?
We're going to talk more about the Braves coming up. Bad call last night. Bullpen. We got to fix this. All right? AA, Alex Anthopoulos. You should be on the phone right now. Hey, coming up, though, it's In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte, guys. That is next on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
It's that time in the afternoon. Our man Mike Conte stops by. In case you missed it, some fun stories coming up. Top three at 6 and also an interview at 6:20 you do not want to miss. And we'll talk more about the Braves. Blown opportunity last night. We got to get this bullpen right. But first, it's Mike Conte.
A few hours ago, we were talking about soccer and the World Cup. And just to clarify, I know Atlanta United is mostly made up of players who play for countries that are not going to the World Cup, but you can still play friendlies that Memorial Day weekend. In fact, the USA is playing a friendly. I don't know if Paraguay and Venezuela and Argentina and all those. I doubt Argentina, but many of those countries are playing friendly. So that's what I meant to say, that Atlanta United might have some players still playing that weekend. No, they are not going to the World Cup. Believe me, I know. Now, Argentina is going to the World Cup. And yesterday, the Argentine Football Association had a seminar for players and coaches and executives and reporters who are going to go over to Russia for the World Cup. And something happened during the seminar that raised the red flag to one reporter in the room whose name, love this name, his name was Nacho Catullo.
It's a great name.
It's a great name for many, many fields of work.
Let's go live to Nacho Catullo here in the squared circle.
Journalism is one of them.
Yes.
He noticed that everyone had to turn in their manuals that they were handed by officials when they walked in the room. And I guess the instructor was ripping pages out of the manuals and then giving them back. So Nacho holds on to his manual. And he finds out what the problem was. There were a couple pages in the manual distributed to the players and the coaches. The subject was what to do to have a chance with a Russian girl. I swear to God, I'm not making this up.
Mike, we talked about this off the air. Argentinians, you ever been to, I mean, it's a beautiful country, beautiful people. And it is Latin. It's a Latin. It's a man's world down there, Mike. So, yes, they would have this in the manual.
Yes.
And I'm not being sexist about America. Nothing to do with what goes on here, Carl. Down there, it's a different set of rules.
I don't want to cast aspersions on an entire country or culture, but I will tell you, there are also line cutters. When we were getting ready to go to Orlando on Sunday, there was a flight that misconnected from Buenos Aires to Orlando, and a big, big group of Argentinians got stuck in Atlanta. And when they opened up our flight for check-in, I'm trying to move my seat because I need the legroom. I'm a big guy. And, like, 50 people with Argentina passports cut right in front of me.
Oh.
Right in front.
That's my Conti.
Well, let me tell you, the Delta...
I am Fabrizio. Let this man stand away. I must get my upgrade.
The Delta gate agent, shout out to her. She was having none of it. She got on that little speaker, said, we're not having any of this today. You line up behind him.
Get in line.
That's exactly right.
So what the hell, connection?
Shout out to Delta employees.
I have a connection to Buenos Aires.
That's right.
That's why a lot of people in South America find them snobby in Argentina, Mike.
Really? Well,
there is a pecking order.
Well, I can tell you they don't have respect for lines or personal space.
That's not right.
From the very small sample size I saw.
I would agree. Now, I'll tell you really quick. Same thing happened to us when we were on vacation.
Yeah.
With a woman literally just pushing people out of the way to get to the front of the line.
Can't do that.
I can vouch for that. You're right.
Anyhow, would you like to know some of the highlights of what was in the manual for the Argentine soccer team on
how to stand a chance with a Russian girl?
Yes. Item number one. This is translated from Spanish, by the way. Item number one. Russian girls, like any other girls, pay close attention if you're clean, you smell good, and you go well-dressed. First impressions are very important. I'm going to paraphrase some of this. It's long. Number two, Russian girls do not like to feel like objects. Many men, because the Russian women are beautiful, only want to take them to bed. Don't ask stupid questions about going to bed. It's very private and not a topic to discuss in public.
It is urged to treat women as someone of worth.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that part yet. I don't know.
I read the article of the Miami Herald.
I got you. Number three, Russian girls hate boring men. If you do not have topics to talk about, if you're just thinking about what to say after, then you are not enjoying the moment as you will be disconnected from it. This is actually pretty good
advice
just for relationships in general.
If you can smell good. Smell good.
If you can make a woman laugh, if you've got good grooming habits, yes.
Yes, you need to have good personal hygiene.
Dress nice.
No doubt about
that. Yeah.
Number four, don't be negative. The women avoid people, the women being the Russians, avoid people that only see the negative things in the work and relationships in life.
Well, women do that generally with any man.
I would think that doesn't necessarily apply to just the Russians.
He's so negative.
Hold on, time out. If I'm a 6'2" Argentinian soccer player with flowing blonde locks, and some of them often have, 5 o'clock shadow.
Doesn't matter.
And look like I just stepped off the cover of GQ. Does any of this matter?
No, it does.
Well, yeah, if you're Messi walking through downtown Moscow, probably it's not going to be an issue for
you. Right.
But, you know, these are good life tips.
Why are you such a jerk?
Argentine football.
My name is Fabrizio. I play for Argentina.
I'm going to try to.
There's a chance.
That's right. Russian women like the men that take the initiative. If you do not have confidence in the same, then you will need to practice talking with more women.
I got to be honest. This Argentinian manual could be sold here in America, Carl. There's good common sense in this.
No doubt.
You could probably pick this up at Walden Books for $29.95 in the self-help aisle. They tell you don't monopolize the conversation. Don't try.
Again, any
ask
woman.
Questions, yeah. Carl. Ask questions. Ask questions.
The final note in the Argentine soccer manual on how to pick up a Russian woman. Don't try to impress the girl in the wrong way. Mm. Maybe you try to impress her by talking about the money you have, that you know everything, that you're perfect, and the others are poor, stupid people. In the end, this is literally verbatim out of the manual. In the end, if the girl has a little sense, she will bounce you. Be real and talk about you in real terms. Talk about your faults in a fun way and about your positive points.
Whoever wrote, you know what? There you go. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Our friends from the Southern Hemisphere, break it down. Yeah. I think every guy in the car listening, pass that to your kid. That's good
advice.
The course was taught by a Russian language teacher in Argentina. You would not believe what his last name is.
What's his last name?
I can't even say it on the air.
No, go ahead and say it.
Can.
No, I can't.
What is
let
it? Go ahead.
Let me see it. Take a stab at it.
You can say it.
No, you can't say that.
Of course you can.
That's unbelievable his last name would be.
All right, let's try it with an Italian flair. It's written by a man named Panissi.
Oh, gotcha.
That's clean.
Okay.
I got it. Okay. Get dumped.
Okay, yeah. Brian says okay.
Yeah.
No, hey, look, They say worse things on Family Guy on Fox.
Well, yes, I understand, but we play by different rules on a radio station that's outside true. The Safe Harbor.
Man, get hassled by the man again, Carl.
Safe Harbor. He's right, Mike. You didn't see the memo. Hey, that's an interesting story. But, yeah, man, don't you think, though, seriously, Conti, that applies to most women?
100%.
I just love the fact they put that in the manual for guys on the soccer team. The guys who don't need any help at all going over there.
Turn in your manuals, guys. We need to rip out some pages and give them back to you. There are reporters in the room. They're going to notice.
Dating advice will be the theme for our game winner, Carl, in less than an hour.
I love it, man. We all have dating advice. You've given your friends dating advice. Probably didn't work, but you've given it to them. Mike Conti, great job, as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right, man. That's in case you missed it. Coming up top three at 6. Also, our conversation with one of the best guys that covers the NBA. What do you think about the Hawks picking 3 and what happened in that series last night with the Celtics and Cavs? You're going to hear at 6:20 Jeff Zilgit right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.